Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Weekly Podcast.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Irish Farmers Journal Podcast. This week the government launched the Climate Action Plan, which contains targets which are to result in a 22 to 30% cut in emissions from agriculture by 2030 and a 51% cut across the whole economy. There's over 60 actions for farming and then there are more for land use, forestry and renewables to name a few. I'm now joined by political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, Pat O'Toole, news correspondent Declan O'Brien, and tillage and renewable specialist Stephen Robb. Pat, I might start with you. There was a raft of measures announced in the plan, as we said, you know, a slaughter premium, cuts in nitrogen use, more tillage area under cover crops, and much, much more. You were speaking to the Taoiseach and the Minister for the Environment yesterday about the plan. What do they have to say about it for what it contains for farming?
A lot of positivity towards farming and agriculture, a belief that most of what farming needs to achieve can be done without any effect on incomes or output, a determination to maintain the output of farming, and this is a new phrase, stable herd has been replaced by stable output. So whether that means the language is a change of mindset, we don't know yet. But what we do know is that, as you say, a huge number of measures, most of which have been well flagged, some of which are linked into CAP and the recent announcement of CAP, which now looks like it's the cart which was released before the horse. For instance, organics, the massive investment in organics, 260 million over the 5 years from 23 to 27. That ties in with action number 310, which is increase the area under organic production from 74,000 hectares to 350,000 hectares, a fivefold increase, hence the fivefold increase in funding. That ties in. Whether farmers will buy into it or not, I don't know. But against that, the previous action, 309, is brand new, mooted in the last few days by Minister McConnell, who are talking about reducing the average age of slaughter of animals from 27 to 24 months. It seems that that's going to be done by some form of premium. When I talked to the minister yesterday evening and he expanded on it, I'm not sure that that's going to be directly funded by the department. It may be an incentivization within the price of beef. It could be a combination of a government payment and an encouragement through whether the grid will be adjusted or whether it'll be a bonus payment from beef processors, because there's no doubt that the minister expects the processing sector across the board to get on board with this plan. It's not just at farm gate level, there needs to be buy-in. If you look at the likes of sort of mixed species sward, new feed additives to reduce biogenic methane, these are things which have been well flagged. Reduce in nitrogen to reduce it to 325,000 tons In 2030, with an interim target of 350,000 tonnes in 2025. And most of that nitrogen is going to have to be protected urea, a move away from CAN, and obviously almost universal adaptation of low emission slurry spreading, almost universal milk recording in the dairy herd, a huge increase over three quarters of animals to be weight recorded, of beef animals to be weight recorded for greater efficiency. So it's about maximising all the latent potential that is there within farming to reduce its carbon footprint. After that, it's going to get problematic. The reality is that you cannot reduce the carbon emissions from farming with current technology below 20% without cutting the national herd. And that's why the question keeps arising, because everybody knows that's the reality.
Yeah, and I think we saw that in the Taoiseach's commentary. He did say that there was an obsession with the national herd. You mentioned there that you met with the minister this week. What else did he have to say on the plan? He obviously said farmers are, he said, you know, directly the farmers are at the very centre of it. What else had he to say?
Initially, the first issue, and it's one that has to be acknowledged, I think, here and across the board, is that we talked about the negotiations that led to the sectoral targets, because there's a huge difference in 22 and 30%. But when we have a national target of 51% and we see transport and energy getting 50 and 80% as their targets, the 22 to 30% for agriculture is a recognition that farming is going to have to work very hard to reduce its emissions, a recognition of the economic and social importance of the agri sector in Ireland, upstream and downstream jobs, as well as farming itself. And an achievement by the minister and the department senior officials through what have been, he did admit, were very difficult and protracted negotiations at cabinet level. But he did pay tribute to his cabinet colleagues and said that they understood the importance of farming. He also paid tribute to his cabinet colleagues in the department and said that the fact that agriculture has the three parties in government represented and that they work very well together is a sign that this is not an adversarial, that this can be a shared solution. So that good news out of the way, we then got into the detail and to the second question as to how this will be rolled out specifically. It was very hard to get detail, and I suppose there's so much happening at the moment, it's understandable that this will have to roll out. The minister's priority at the moment is that we hit the ground running, and he regularly returned to that theme when we talked about individual issues. It's very important for agriculture to put its best foot forward and get that low-hanging fruit immediately to show that we are serious about our intent to do everything we can to play our part within the national effort. And what it seems is that the minister believes that the better we perform early on, the more likely we are to be given a realizable target. If we don't play ball on the easy stuff, the hard stuff might get much harder. So that seemed to be his message, that it's very important for everyone in Irish farming now to crack on with what we can do and what's within our compass. And the more difficult decisions and the more difficult issues, especially the sectoral target, what it will be refined to, will it be near 30, will it be 22, and the implications of that for farming, but also for the national herd in particular, will be left for a later day, and the answers we get may be dependent on how we perform.
Thanks, Pat. There's a lot to wade through there. And I suppose anyone that's listening and is wondering what the actions are in the plan for farming can see them on the Farmers Journal. Declan, I might move to you next. It was said this week that if a sector doesn't meet its emissions targets, that sector will have to pay. Do we think that farmers will have to pay the cost through cuts and schemes, for example, if the sector doesn't meet its targets?
Well, there seems to be some confusion around this. Up to now, there've been talk of ranges, but the clear indications yesterday were, well, that we will, by spring of next year, be moving to a fixed figure in terms of what needs to be done. Now, Micheál Martin insisted at the press conference yesterday that this wouldn't degenerate into a bun fight. What he said was between the various departments. But as Pat alluded to there, the actual setting of that figure really is going to be the detail that the devil is in. You know, that is going to set the ambition and whether we can hit that target or not. The clear indication from officials is that this is not going to be, they're going to try to keep this as real as possible. It's a kind of a belts and braces approach to how you police this. There's talk of a climate action delivery board producing quarterly reports. There's talks of the CCAC doing annual reports, and the performance of the agricultural sector will be measured against those reports. They're saying then that the minister will be able to be brought in front of an Oireachtas Committee on Climate Change, and that recommendations will be made if the sector is slipping from its targets, and that he will have to act on those. And finally, there were suggestions that if they don't act, that there will be a cut on the budget. Now, that is kind of the nightmare scenario. How that plays out, nobody knows. You know, is it going to be a straight cut on direct payments? Is it going to be in Pillar 2 payments? And that could be hugely divisive, not only for farming, but internally in farming. If one enterprise is deemed to be causing problems for other enterprises, yet everybody gets a hit, that has the potential to cause rack and ruin among farmers, you know, if it gets down to that.
Yeah, and I think that's something that probably can't be said enough, that, you know, these are going to be targets that they're not just pie in the sky. There's going to be people looking at this across every sector to see what sector is meeting its targets, what sector isn't. And it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I might keep moving. So there are aspirational targets for forestry in the Plan Declan. You know, we're told an 8,000 hectare planting target per annum for trees by 2030. That's against the backdrop that there's a backlog in licenses, and we saw forestry people and people working in the industry protesting this week about that backlog. How's the government going to square meeting that target, do you think?
This is going to be the real test of a real test among a whole series of tests, I suppose. But it has to be said that, you know, that farmer confidence in the forestry sector is fairly well shot. So definitely, if they're going to convince private landowners to go into forestry, then they will need a real carrot to entice them in, because as the sector stands, nobody in their right mind would go next to neighbour. You know, you're at now between 2,000 and 3,000 hectares. They're way off the 8,000 hectares. They've got to sort the licensing issue. They've got to sort the planning issue within the department. They have problems with getting land. Who will allow mass forestry in their area? And even down to there's so much of the land mass designated now. Will they get access to this land? So they're facing serious challenges on a number of fronts in terms of forestry. And it's not going to be an easy one to crack. And I'd say getting up to 8,000, they're talking about transport being the big problem child really to sort out. I think forestry could be equally difficult.
Yeah, it's definitely very aspirational, and we will be keeping an eye on that, obviously, going forward, as we will with all of the actions in the plan. Declan, thanks for that commentary. Stephen Robb, I'll come to you next. The plan says that there'll be a scheme which will pay farmers to sell electricity back to the grid. This has been a long time coming, you could say.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. Look, there's obviously been a lot of talk and a lot of concerns and fears, even on the lead up to the publication of this plan, but it's important to take the positives and the good parts out of it. And I think renewables really is one of those good parts. In fact, reading through the plan, it's quite exciting to see what's coming down the line. One of those is a brand new small scale generation scheme for farmers, for businesses, etc. Maybe first we'll just quickly delve into what we have already, and that is the Renewable Electricity Support Scheme. That's in existence already, and that's for large scale, you know, wind farms, solar farms, anything above 500 kilowatt. And then we will have a small scale micro generation scheme. So that's for projects of below 500 kilowatt. So pretty much that's to displace self-consumption as such. So if you like, there was a gap there between the 50 kilowatt and the 500 kilowatt range as such. And it looks like the government have listened and are developing a new plan, which is going to fill that gap. So basically, it's going to be for solar panels off between 50 kilowatt output and 200 kilowatt output. And really what this is targeting is farmers' roof spaces, and it can be installed on the ground as well, but primarily for roof spaces. There's going to be a new connection policy designed. And look, I think with the micro generation scheme, you know, the sub 50 kilowatt scheme, that's not necessarily going to be an income generating tool, rather than an energy import displacement tool. Still quite useful, especially for high intensity sectors like dairy farming, for example. But, you know, for sheep, beef, tillage, who have a lot of roof space, but maybe not have high energy requirements, it's not really as useful as it could be. But this small scale generation scheme, this new scheme, will potentially be an income generating scheme for those farmers to pretty much avail of your roof space. So it's very exciting, and we're going to have more details about it in next week's paper.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say, even on any of the topics we've discussed already, from the forestry to the solar, and we're going to move to AD next, you can nearly spend half an hour talking on each of these. Sadly, we don't have that luxury of time, but we're going to move on to AD next, so anaerobic digestion. What does the plan have in store for AD, and what sort of feedstock will it need? You've been looking into that.
Yeah, so this is a topic we've been following closely in the journal for the past 2 years, really. You know, and the appetite is immense at ground level. And this is the first solid government commitment that there will be a development of an AD industry in Ireland, which is really positive. So basically what they have outlined is that there will be an opportunity for farmers to produce feedstock to contribute towards the production of 1.6 terawatt hours of biomethane, which will be injected into the grid. Now, what that actually means is 1.6 terawatt hours, that figure, that's actually the proposed target for renewable heat under the incoming renewable heat obligation scheme. What that is it will mandate all suppliers of heat fuel to have a percentage of renewables in their mix by starting in 2025 and really wrapping up by 2030. So that's where that 1.6 terawatt hour figure came from. What that actually equates to in terms of plants, well, typically what we would class as a farm scale anaerobic digestion plant now will be around 20 gigawatt hours in size. So in other words, it would create around about 80 farm-based, farm-scale anaerobic digestion plants. So that's an opportunity for farmers, but as the plan says, producing the feedstock for those plants is also an opportunity for farmers. And what that would equate to roughly, Amy, in terms of forage requirement, so that's your grass, that's your, look, it is your energy crops as well, your hybrid rye, your beet, your maize, within your greenhouse gas emissions threshold, which we can get into in another podcast. It equates to about 80,000 acres or so required to feed these networks of plants. As well as that, around about 16,000 tonnes of slurry per plant, roughly. So that's about 1.2 million tonnes of slurry required as well for this network. And look, that's only it's an incremental target. So it is, you know, that 1.6 figure by 2030, it's only going to go up. That's 3% of Ireland's entire heat mix. So it's really small overall. Now, arguably, they do suggest in this plan that hydrogen and, you know, green gases, carbon zero gases and whatnot will have an ever increasing role in Ireland's energy mix, and it will. But this is really positive. You know, hydrogen, it's going to be big, but it's next decade stuff, you know, arguably, if even. biomethane is for today. You know, the technology is there today, and farmers want it, and farmers will play their part and contribute and invest and do what they need to do to see this happen. So it's really positive, Amy.
Yeah, and I think you said it there that farmers they are up to the challenge, and as you said, they will play their part. Now we're going to move to Brexit next, and I'm joined by market specialist Phelim O'Neill. Phelim, there's talk today of Article 16 and this week of Article 16 being triggered in terms of Brexit. What is Article 16 first? What's happening with it, and what will it mean for farmers?
Well, Amy, Article 16 is a part of the trade and cooperation agreement between the EU and the UK, and it's the mechanism or the section that refers specifically to the relationship with Northern Ireland and how the protocol for Northern Ireland to continue to operate within the single market would be administered. Now, if there's at some point issues within the relationship between Britain, Northern Ireland and the European Union, either side have the opportunity to use Article 16 as a way of suspending, if you like, sections of the agreement that are the issue of a problem. Now, that's not the end of it, of course. By using Article 16, if that's the decision the UK government makes, it basically means that there's an intense negotiation then to try and resolve the issues around it. And of course, the paradox here is that there's been essentially a negotiation ongoing ever since the agreement came into effect at the start of the year to try and resolve issues relating to trade between Britain and Northern Ireland. Why it's an issue at the minute, because if we think about it over the course of the year, whilst Brexit was supposed to be sorted whenever the UK finally left the single market back at the start of the year, the reality is that there's hardly a week gone by but there isn't a Brexit issue of some sort that's making headlines. And what is different this time, I suppose, is that if the UK take this decision to trigger Article 16, it essentially ups the ante in terms of the dispute or the disagreement between the EU and UK. And what will be interesting to see then is what response comes from the EU. And there's views even within Brussels that there's a degree of Brexit fatigue has set in there, and they might go as far as to, in the most extreme case, call time on the trade and cooperation agreement, or at least suspend it. Now, if either of those decisions were taken by Brussels in response to an Article 16 trigger, it would take 9 months in the case of suspension, a year in the case of terminating the agreement to take effect. So there would be a breathing space for serious negotiations. Why all of this matters to Irish farmers, and it is big political issue at a European level, why it matters to Irish farmers is if anything goes wrong with that trade agreement, the reality is Irish exports of agri-food produce to Britain would become subject to very, very severe tariffs, doubling the cost in some cases of the product, and it would cause a market crisis for Irish farmers if it got to that point. Now, we're a long way from that yet, but there's certainly a path there to where you could see this happening. And if you think back to 2019, 2020, we had long periods of discussion about what if there's a no-deal Brexit? Well, if something goes wrong and the agreement's either suspended or withdraw or cancelled by the European Union, then we're back in that space. And it's an issue of uncertainty that's been around for 5 years now, has never came to the worst case scenario, but there's no doubt that the way the mood is going at the moment, it's very much back on the agenda.
Okay, I think that's a very succinct explanation there, Phelim, of what it is and what it could mean for farmers and the agri-food sector. Phelim, thanks for joining us this week. I'd like to thank Phelim, Pat, Declan and Stephen for joining us this week on the podcast to discuss the Climate Action Plan and the potential of Article 16 being triggered on Brexit. Stay tuned to the Farmers Journal online and see next week's paper where we delve into those issues more.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.